Hey guys, it's Ryan here from London, UK, via New Zealand. And this episode of IVMV is brought to you by Patreon supporters like me. So roll the intro music, Corey, and more importantly, go Cubbies.
Hi, and thanks for downloading this, the 417th episode of the IVMV podcast. We have just returned home from our tailgate in Milwaukee, and this is going to be a pretty casual conversation on this episode. We will talk about our tailgate and the rest of the Cubs series in Milwaukee, and there's a trade rumor floating around tonight that we're going to talk about. I'm one of your co-hosts. My name is Corey, and I am joined by the other two hosts of this podcast.
Hey, it's Andy.
And Kurt. I feel like maybe sometime we should mix that up, though. And,
why do you think that, Kurt?
People commenting like, oh, wait, you guys introduced yourself in the wrong order in person, you know, which I actually thought was hilarious. But yeah. We even got a T-shirt example.
Yeah, I didn't realize that we were so predictable. But
we are, though.
But then once it was pointed out, I was like, oh, yeah, we do that exactly the same way every time. It's the only way we know how to do it, though.
I know, but then as I say that, I'm like, yeah, but I like things to be predictable, so.
Yeah, yeah. So if this is the first time you've heard our podcast, this is going to be different than usual. We typically have a more structured conversation, but we just had a meetup, a tailgate at the Cubs-Brewers game on Saturday, and so we basically are just going to talk about whatever comes up around that tailgate and the weekend. And then, of course, the Aroldis Chapman right now at the time of this recording trade rumors and could potentially be a real trade or something that fizzles apart. So we will look stupid either way.
Something we're accustomed to, so
right.
It's a well-worn path for us.
I mean, if this stays a rumor for the next, like, you know, 5 days, then we'll be right on it. But if it goes down one way or the other, then we look stupid.
At least we'll have our emotional reactions on record.
Right, there you go. Or it could happen as we're recording. That's quite possible. So I would have never imagined, especially when I look back to us starting this podcast 7 or 8 years ago, I would have never imagined that we would have 99 people show up to one of our meetups. And the fact that everyone was so cool and so nice, I think that makes it even more special.
Yeah, I was just kind of stunned by how nice everybody was. I mean, I shouldn't have been surprised by it just because we've been interacting with these listeners for a long time on Facebook. But it was finally nice. I mean, it was nice to finally meet a lot of the people we've been conversing with about our beloved Cubs on Facebook in person.
Yeah. Yeah, it was fantastic. And, you know, we encountered a few not so amazing Cubs fans, not part of our group. And so I think it's pretty fair to say that our group of 100 or so was the best pocket of Cubs fans in the entire park that night. So
that made me feel really grateful.
Like, yeah, it was like a bunch of friends you knew from college or whatever. You just kind of were hanging out with 100 people that you sort of already knew, but you didn't. And that's really cool.
Yeah, that type of people chooses to be a part of our community. And then the other fans that we saw that were just nuts and obnoxious don't. Made me feel very grateful.
Yeah, so do you guys... Okay, so anyone that... First off, on the last episode, I talked about how, oh yeah, I'm going to, you know, we'll do Facebook Live, we'll do Periscope. You know, we're going to make this... Even if you're not able to attend this event, we're going to make you feel like you're there. Yeah, that did not happen.
So yeah, there's an excuse. Our legitimate reason for
it. Yeah, so it was a very soggy afternoon in the evening. It started off being soggy from sweat. We got in there early to set up, and there were multiple times before you guys got there that Tani and I would set up a tent or a canopy thing and then go sit in the truck for about 5 minutes to cool off with the air conditioning because it was so hot and muggy and I smelled so bad instantly. Luckily, I brought my deodorant for backup.
Cause that's how you apply that a couple times.
Oh man, I was sweating like crazy. And then all of a sudden, the skies opened up and it just poured on us. And so rather than risk the life of my phone to include everyone that couldn't be there, I decided just to put my phone away, put it in the truck, and save myself about $500.
That's a good call. I feel like I didn't take a single picture the entire event. I think that was partly because I was just really enjoying interacting with people, but also the weather.
And you got the wettest too, manning the grill for so long. So
yeah, I think everyone appreciated your work at the grill, Andy.
Yeah, well, I enjoyed it. Like I was kind of enjoying just being bathing a martyr. In the rain.
Standing in the middle of a lightning storm around a 5 foot metal grill.
Yeah, it worked out fine.
Oh yeah.
But when I was in the game, my shoes were so wet I could smell my feet the whole time.
Oh yeah. Yeah, my shoes are still just soaking wet.
I know.
Making me wish I was wearing Crocs.
Oh yeah.
They would have been perfect.
You should have just wore the Crocs, rain or shine.
I wish I would have, believe me.
But I could feel the wrinkles on my feet in the game.
Oh.
It was gross. My Cubs hat is still moist. More than 24 hours later.
I'm fully dried out.
It's not sitting on. So it's sitting on the air conditioning vent right now.
Yeah. So even though I'll tell you, I really do appreciate the kind words that everybody, shared there about the rain not really ruining the experience and not really ruining the tailgate, and everyone still had so much fun. And I think in a way the rain kind of like forced everyone into like close quarters. So then everyone was kind of forced to mingle. You couldn't like kind of just be off on your own or talk with one person over in a corner somewhere. You were kind of forced into just mingling with everybody. So I think it worked out really well. And I think most people didn't have their phones because they didn't want them to get ruined. And so we were kind of like, I don't know. It was just a neat little, what's the word I'm looking for? Like escape.
Technology free.
Yeah.
Pocket.
Yeah. It was really nice.
Corey says as he checks his phone to see if there's any Twitter updates.
I think this thing is seriously going to go down while we're recording.
I think you're right. It seems really close. So
yeah. Okay, but I do want to talk before we talk about that trade. It was so awesome meeting everybody. And my one regret about everything was that there were so many listeners that this was kind of our first chance to meet them. And there were so many, yet it was like such, even though we got to tailgate for like 3 hours, it was like such a whirlwind. And like, it was just like... over before we knew it, and I felt like I really didn't get the opportunity to talk to several people that I wish I would have, but it just didn't happen, and so I feel kind of guilty about that. But
yeah, I had the same thought too. I did get to talk for a long time to a lot of different people, but there are some people I just didn't really make it to, and I was disappointed about that.
Yeah, which is why if you were at the tailgate and you want to hang out more, the weekend at the lake is perfect because we have an entire weekend and you will be sick of us by the end of it. Yeah. You'll be around us so much. You'll be like, oh man, I got to get away from these guys.
It's home turf. We're going to be a little more relaxed, a little more.
Well, yeah. And it's like, I kind of wish we would have had that group last night, like around a campfire, you know, where like we could all just kind of like hang out and relax, but it was fun. But I mean, the weather definitely kind of played a role in just the tone of everything and just kind of putting like a little bit of a damper, I guess, on it. But
Yeah, I thought the rain kind of gave Katie Day's song kind of a melancholy effect.
Yeah. Yeah, and
but I enjoyed her performance.
Oh, yeah. I'm so glad that Danny and Katie decided to go ahead and play, even though the weather was crummy. And it's really neat. If you go to our Facebook page, you can go to ivmv.com/Facebook. And I posted a video of her playing, Katie playing by the lakeside. And it's really kind of cool because I was far enough away that, like, you can hear the rain hitting our canopies. And it almost sounds like a crackling of, like, an old record. So it almost sounds like kind of like a really old record playing her music. So it sounds kind of neat, but
wow.
I do want to say though, while I'm like blown away at how nice everyone was and just how well the thing went, like I am really blown away that Ryan flew over here from England. Ryan, whose voice I played at the very beginning of the episode, flew over here, and this was his first Cubs game, his first Major League Baseball game, his first stadium, and he was going to Wrigley and the Cell this week in Chicago. But I was just, it was so cool to meet him, and it blows me away that someone flew from Europe to attend our tailgate.
Yeah, that's awesome. Thank you, Ryan, for coming.
Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah, really nice guy too. He was fun to talk with, and I was like, "Oh, so how'd you become a baseball fan?" And he was like, "I really don't know. It just kind of happened." How'd you become a Cubs fan? I don't know. Like, oh, like a long time ago? No, not really. I was like, well, I kind of like that more than like, oh, I remember the day, you know, like,
right.
Mm-hmm. I kind of like that. Just like, you know, just kind of organically happens. And, it was cool. You know, one of the things he said, was just how, he was surprised at how big everything was there. You know, we were kind of sitting up high and he was just like, it said something about being surprised at just how big it all felt and being in that ballpark. And I don't really know, you know, with like soccer games and the English Premier League, I'm not sure how many people those stadiums hold.
Yeah. Yeah. Quite a few, but yeah, I have no idea. Well, Kurt, you might kind of know.
I don't actually. Okay. I was just about to Google it, but I don't. I'm guessing it's probably what in like it's similar to NFL, like maybe 60,000-70,000.
Really?
Total guess.
Huh, yeah, I wouldn't think that big, but I don't know. Anyway, so we did ask Ryan, and we're asking you again, Ryan. If you're up for it, we would like you to write a blog post that we could publish on the website to talk about your experience at your first Major League Baseball games and kind of comparing it to the sporting events that you've attended in England and just kind of your overall thoughts about this kind of whirlwind trip that you've taken to the U.S. Which I do want to move that into a conversation. But before I do that, I also want to thank our three wives, Tawny, Beth, and Lana, because they helped so much. Lana like was kicking butt over there at the food table. She kept that thing rolling. So that was nice, but it was, I don't know, you know, I think we try to thank the three of them often on this podcast because they make it possible for us to be able to do this. And I know that I believe I'm speaking for you too, that we like really appreciate that, but it's nice to have, you know, they're part of the IVMB team, you know, and to have them be co-leaders of the tailgate. I don't know. It means a lot to me, and I would assume it does to you guys too.
Oh yeah, they're unbelievable.
Yes, I totally agree. So even coming down to a weekend away from home, and you don't have groceries yet, and here I am Sunday night down here in the basement while she's up there putting the kids to bed. So it's more than just the tailgate stuff. It's a lot of stuff, and it's really appreciated.
Yeah. So they probably won't listen to know that we appreciate them, but at least our listeners know that we appreciate them.
Maybe we should say it right to them. What do you think about that? That's kind of weird though, isn't it?
No, I don't. I mean,
I agree. That's awkward.
We don't talk We just text each other.
I did text
I'm
Beth.
I'm the emailer.
I did text Beth. I thanked Tawny earlier today, and then I texted Beth, but I didn't have Lana's phone number, and I was like, I don't know if she ever looks at Twitter or anything. I'll just have Kurt relay that I yeah. So you can tell Lana that I do. I thought she did an amazing job over at the food table, and I really appreciate it. Buying tickets for online sports and concerts has been a confusing process for a long time. It's always been hard to find the best deal for that game or show that you want to go to. And none of the older ticket sites want to change that, but SeatGeek is different. They've come along, they've created an amazing app and website that makes it easier than ever for fans to buy and sell tickets. I've used SeatGeek several times this season. I've talked about that. And there's a couple more games that I'm interested in. And so I'm watching the ticket prices on SeatGeek, and I'm ready to pounce as soon as they get to a price that I'm comfortable with. But it's also a great service to sell tickets. So if you've got extra tickets, I'd say that's the first place to go to list them. Everything about SeatGeek is designed to make life easier for sports and music fans. They do all of the price comparison for you by searching multiple ticket sites, and they ensure that you get the best possible deal. SeatGeek does all of the work, and you get to save time and money. And SeatGeek wants to help you get the most bang for your buck. That's why every ticket on SeatGeek is given a grade based on value. You'll immediately see any underpriced seats and be able to find the best deals that fit your budget. And best of all, our listeners get a $20 rebate off their first SeatGeek purchase. Here's what you do to get your $20. You download the SeatGeek app, go to the settings tab, and click on add a promo code. Enter the promo code IVY, it's all caps, IVY, and SeatGeek will send you $20 after you've made your first ticket purchase. So download the SeatGeek app and enter the promo code IVY today. So we kind of, one more thing, I have to say, Justin, who listens to this podcast, he works for the Brewers, and I thought that everything about the tailgate with the Brewers was amazing. I mean, they made it really clear. They met us at the gate, drove us to where our reserve tailgating area was, told us exactly where our lines were. And so when I got the reserve tailgating area, I got two spaces or whatever. And I thought that was literally two parking spaces, but then the other two on the other side of the stripe, you know, so four total. And then as we got so many people and we were up to 99, I was like, well, maybe we should get one more, you know, go ahead and do that. So I got that from him. I had no idea that three spaces is actually 18 parking spaces.
Because a football field of
space. But it seemed huge. But then once we kind of got everything set up, it was the perfect size for us.
Yeah.
It worked out well.
And one thing I learned, this is something several of the people that were there last night asked, will you please do this again? Because it was a lot of fun. And, you know, the only thing that sucked about it was the rain. So I would really like to kind of maybe make this somewhat of an annual event. So I would like to do that. One thing that I will do in the future, though, and I didn't realize I could do this, is that you can actually reserve a porta potty. A couple of the tailgating parties near us had porta potties, and that would be the way to go, especially for the ladies. So I think that would be worth the extra. I won't bring the luggable loo. I'll actually spring for you're right. I will spring for a tailgate, but a porta potty. But I think that would have been. I wish I would have done that. But if you're thinking about tailgating there, and if you have a big group, I would not hesitate to do the reserve tailgating because we were literally right by the walkway. We were the first spot, basically.
Yeah.
The first tailgating spot. So it was awesome. I was kind of thinking about this because Ryan was talking about it being his first trip to a major league ballpark. And I know Kurt, you were unimpressed. it seemed. So I kind of want to talk about for somebody that hasn't been to Miller Park, which I've been there before and I actually kind of like Miller Park. I think there are some things about it I don't like. And I think that this also kind of will be able to kind of move into a conversation that I wanted to have based on a conversation that Andy and I had at Wrigley with them incorporating walk-up music and regular music and the boards and everything like that. But what did you guys think about Miller Park?
I'll withhold some of my you know, post tailgate comments for obvious reasons, you know, keep it family friendly. But I've calmed down a little bit, so I'm not quite as upset about it as I was then. But it's just that it was kind of a perfect storm of like the new security measures with when you allow tailgating, everyone enters at the same exact time. Plus it's, you know, 35,000 of 40,000 Cubs fans all pouring into the stadium at the same exact time.
At the last minute.
We didn't get in. Yeah, we didn't get in until the third. Was it like, or second? Bottom of the second, maybe?
Yeah.
I don't remember exactly, but it took forever. That was really frustrating. That's not Miller Park's fault, but that was pretty frustrating. And then I just felt like the people who worked there weren't super friendly. Like they were really, I mean, compared to even like Busch Stadium, where everyone was overly friendly to the Cubs fans.
Right.
And there I felt like, oh, you got to move. You got to do this. And it's very barky and get out of my way.
Yeah, especially at the end of the night.
Yeah. The vendor service was bad. And I say this all knowing that this was one experience at one game and that you could go to another game and have a completely opposite experience. So I don't want to, you know, beat them up too much over my one experience. But if this was my one experience, it wasn't a great one. And then also my other sort of personal opinion about this era of park that has the dome or the retractable roof, kind of like Chase Field in Arizona. I don't really care for it. It feels like a cavern, like you're in a cave a bit to me. And it just doesn't feel like you're playing baseball outside.
Which was a good thing we weren't. It's a good thing we weren't playing baseball outside.
This is true because we wouldn't have even seen a baseball game. Right.
It makes me feel like I'm in to go along with what you're saying, Kurt. Like it makes me feel like I'm in a fitness center at a college.
Yes,
you know, like tennis courts and like glaring fluorescent lights. Yep. You know, in kind of a stale atmosphere. I don't know, but yeah, I get that same feeling from.
And to contrast it with, I have been to Target Field, Minneapolis, which is a newer one than that. And it's like, I think they learn a lesson from those types of places. And that place I love. So,
yeah.
It's not that I hate newer parks. I just didn't care for this style.
Well, going back to what you said about vendors, the lack of vendors, lack of beer vendors walking around and selling stuff. On one hand, I noticed that too. And it seemed like even when there were vendors, it was hard for some people to get their attention. Which is funny because when we were at Wrigley last week, Andy, I was almost annoyed because the vendors would not stop. There were so many vendors and they're so loud and they're just everywhere. And it was like, you know, it is really kind of disruptive. And they would like stand in the aisles and kind of block your view. And at that point, I was like, man, I wish they didn't have so many vendors. Like, if I want a beer, I don't know if I've ever bought a beer from a vendor. I just go to the little beer stand or whatever and get a drink. So at Wrigley, I feel like they kind of overdo it. But yeah, there was like, I remember seeing one vendor the entire game yesterday.
I saw two in six innings. Then I tried to go to the stand, but that was like a two inning wait, which again, they're probably like, well, Cubs fans buying more beer. I don't know. I'm sure there was all kinds of excuses, but I didn't get a beer, which wasn't the end of the world.
Carrie in the chat. Says that the vendors are so loud at Wrigley, you can hear them on the radio broadcast. And that's true. There have been multiple times I've been listening and I've heard the vendors over all the other noise.
Yeah, right.
It's pretty impressive.
Yeah, I think they're over the top at Wrigley. I mean, there's just too many of them. You know, it's like, it's just too much, but I guess there's a healthy balance in there somewhere.
Well, and the demand, I mean, they just must be meeting the demand, you know?
Yeah.
Which makes me surprised there were so few at Miller Park because I'm sure the demand was there
after beer. So,
right.
Andy, do you have anything, as far as Miller Park goes?
Yeah, I kind of like it. It sort of felt like we were in 500 level seats at Wrigley, but even more of a bird's eye view. We were 400 level in Miller Park. I thought it was kind of a mystery, like how I got up there. I'm not really sure like how I got to the 400 level, like how that worked.
I know exactly what you mean. Cause you kind of walk up some ramps and then you're there.
And but then you have to go walk a little ways on a concourse to some more ramps. Like, I don't know. It just felt like how the park works is a mystery to me. And maybe Wrigley just seems simple just because I've been there so many times. But I do think the signage is better at Wrigley, too, as far as how you get, you know, to where you're going.
Yeah.
Yeah, as far as getting in, like, the just the huge throng of people, like, just trying to get into this bottleneck of a door. Yeah, that wasn't Miller Park's fault. I mean, I think the metal detector business now is going to slow things down like that at every park. I do like the Cubs have them outside. I think that makes the process go a little bit faster. I don't know if that's intentional on the part of the Cubs or if it's just like that's they're forced to do that because of the age of the structure. But I thought that was irritating, but you know, couldn't really be helped.
But to contrast that a little bit, I think that all came from the tailgating. I mean, you let people tailgate, and everybody goes at the same time. Because I was just at Coors Field in June, and no problem whatsoever. I mean, I walked right in. Right, it wasn't like a sellout, but you know, there was no wait. There was no waiting.
But there you have people trickling in over like a 2 hour period, where at Miller Park, everybody's waiting till the last minute, just like we did. Yep. And yeah, you can't just walk into it, you know, willy nilly. There's going to be lines and.
And I have one other really kind of more interesting comment, I guess, than the stupid lines. I think like the graphics on all the video boards and stuff are really like garish, and I think at Wrigley they do a good job at making it seamless with the feel and the design of the ballpark. And like these video boards had like these like go nuts with lightning behind them and stuff, and it just I don't know, it was, I don't know. It kind of made my eyes bleed. Just looking at everything.
Right. And that's
I'm thankful to hear you say that a graphic designer's job is important. That's all I'm going to say.
A graphic designer's job is important. There, I said it.
Yep. Thank you. I want to hear Corey say it.
Anybody can do it.
Yeah, anybody can put lightning bolts behind some words.
Well, okay. So here's the deal. Like, yeah, I agree. And this is the conversation I kind of wanted to transition into. Again, if this is your first time listening to this, I promise we're not this just scattered all the time. Just maybe some of the time. But when Andy and I were at Wrigley, we kind of talked about, and I don't know if you share this opinion, Andy, but I told you, I said, you know what I like about I think that first off, the Cubs made those changes at just the right time. You know, I think if I was at Wrigley, if I'm at any ballpark, and I've been in ballparks that are fairly empty and they're piping in noise and they're trying to get the crowd into it, kind of like they did last night, it doesn't feel right. It doesn't feel organic at all. And I kind of feel like there's a lot of excitement about the Cubs at Wrigley. And I think that like, with the player walk-up music, of all of the modern changes that we've seen at Wrigley over the last couple of years, I think the walk-up music is the one that I was kind of like, why do we have to have that? You know, that was maybe like, I liked the idea of the video boards. I didn't mind them doing stuff in between innings on the video boards, even though I think those are very tastefully done too. I don't think that those are like just, I mean, some ballparks you go and they just run straight up like commercials on there. And this is a little bit more disguised commercials at Wrigley. But I think that Wrigley has done, and the Cubs have done a great job with modernizing Wrigley Field and bringing some of that modern baseball to the ballpark without it being cheesy. And I think that they've probably put a lot of effort into making sure that it didn't become cheesy. And I think that, you know, I've been to Chase Field, which is very similar to Miller Park. And it's the same thing where it's at like cheesy, like, let's make some noise, loud, you know, but there's like 14,000 people in the stands, but it's just like blaring. And so it kind of, it just isn't organic. It's not natural. And if I'm a Brewers fan, I think it kind of annoys me just because the team isn't really in that spot right now. You know, I think that you can kind of get the crowd pumped up at Wrigley when the team is good and it works. But like I was telling you, Andy, you know, when Hector Rondon came in for the save and, of course, blew it because I was there. You know, they played some song. I don't know what it is. It's like a current song, so of course I wouldn't know what it is. But you know, it was like kind of like a dancey song, and it was like kind of like exciting. And I thought, you know, if this is in the playoffs and he's coming in for the save and this music is playing, like this whole stadium is just like rocking, you know, and it already was like, it raised the excitement mm-hmm. level and people were into it, you know, and kind of like into the song and into the video that was playing. And it just seemed like very, a lot more natural than you see in a lot of other ballparks. And so that's, I guess mm-hmm. what I'm trying to say is the one thing that stood out to me, when we were there, Andy, I mean, I even talked to you about it then, but then especially in going to Miller Park, is just how well the Cubs, how good of a job the Cubs have done with making these changes and making them, I guess, what's the word? Like seamless, I guess. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know what term I'm looking for, but just they've done a really good job.
It preserves like all the nostalgia, all the historic feel, you know, it doesn't ruin that stuff that we were all worried it would ruin. And so that just speaks to what a great job that they did.
I had a lot of fun, and I plan to go back there. And it's just a different, it's not Wrigley Field. It's a different environment. It's a different experience.
And a lot of the negatives and the negative aspects that I mentioned too aren't deal breakers for me either. I see myself back there at some point in the future too. So,
well, I mean, you're still watching baseball. So
right, right. And I mean, like, I honestly kind of liked, I think the seats are comfortable. I thought the views were good. I you know, even though if maybe it's because it's Wisconsin, but the seats are a little bigger than some other ballparks.
Oh, no.
Oh, ouch.
So I appreciated that comfort.
I just thought it was so cool, like, to see a ballpark I've seen on TV so many freaking times, finally see it in person, and it was so much huger and bigger of a spectacle than I realized just having watched it on TV so much.
Yeah. Yeah. Has that trade happened
still,
yet?
Still not my favorite, but
no, but I will go back there. Of course. And again, I would like to do, you know, do this tailgate thing, you know, next year and try it again. Hopefully we can get some good weather. As far as the game and I guess the series in general, well, we got to see Montgomery's Cubs debut. That was something.
He gave up his first home run as a Cub.
Well, you got to get that first one out of the way.
Right?
Yeah. Just get it out of the way early. Yeah, that was pretty rough. I mean, the game we watched was, you know, not really worth talking about.
No, that was
pretty horrible all around, but
yeah, it was tough. Today's game was a lot more fun. I mean, we could talk about that a little bit.
Well, it was fun, what, at like the fifth, sixth inning or whenever they scored five runs.
Sure, yeah.
Before that, it was equally frustrating.
Oh, yeah.
Long bout of utility and frustration for sure. But I guess the result in the last few innings were pretty exciting. And the game was super freaking long, too. So I was driving home from Milwaukee for a lot of it. I was home for the end of it. So, so I guess we got to see Mike Montgomery yesterday. I hope that, you know, he comes back out his next appearance and does well just for his sake.
Yeah.
Well, we don't need a left-handed reliever anymore, so. Or we don't need another.
Oh, go ahead, Andy. Sorry.
No, go ahead,
Andy. I was just going to say that was like one of the most frustrating games I've been to. And I've seen some frustrating games lately because in a season when the Cubs, you know, have a great winning percentage, a great team, I have now this year seen them lose four straight games. So I'm 2-4 on the year. And unfortunately, the only two wins were against Cincinnati, which aren't, you know, not that exciting, even though one of them, of course, was extra innings. But, it's just that was at no point did I really feel. Well, first off, the Cubs were down before I ever got to my seat because I was standing in the line. So the Cubs were down, 2-0, I think.
Mm-hmm. Already on the Luke Roy homer.
Right. And so, and it just didn't seem like the Cubs could do anything against Davies. And everybody around us is like, how, this guy's throwing like 90 miles an hour. How are we not hitting him? And then I kind of pointed out, like, yeah, that's, I mean, I'm not drawing the parallel, but that's probably what people say when their team, their favorite team, faces Kyle Hendricks. Like, this guy's throwing 90 miles an hour. How are we not hitting this guy? But it really didn't seem like it was until they could get into the bullpen and they kind of got something going in, what was it, the seventh or the eighth? But even then, it just wasn't, was not an exciting game. And to be honest, it didn't really feel like the Cubs, to me, it didn't feel like they were really in it at any point. Like, I didn't really, it wasn't like, oh, they're getting guys on base, we're getting guys in scoring position, just not driving them in. And, you know, here pretty soon the floodgates are going to open. It just didn't, the game didn't have that feel to it. And, you know, I don't know if partially it was just the atmosphere, because, I mean, that, like, I didn't really think, like, it kind of surprised me that the Brewers were hitting home runs, because the air just felt so heavy, especially once they closed that roof. When they closed it and it, like, jumped 10 degrees instantly, and it was just so, I mean, like 100% humidity, everything is wet. I'm just thinking, like, yeah, their balls are not going to fly out of here, because it's just like the barometric pressure is just going to push any fly ball down.
Well, that one hit by Neuenheis was pretty cheap. The eighth inning one off of Montgomery.
Yeah. That's about the softest, shortest home run you can hit.
Right. And Neuenheis's other home run was with the roof open in the fourth inning. So really just Lucroy's blast in the first inning. I think the roof was still closed on that one. And that was a no doubter.
Yeah. I don't really. So here's the funny thing is I don't have much to say about this series, because on Friday I was getting everything organized and the truck packed up, and I was not even able to listen to that game. Then on Saturday we're at the game, and you know, you surround yourself with like 99 people and you're watching the game, but you're also talking with a lot of people. And then today I was in the car with four females, and I had the Cubs game on, but it was at like such a low volume that I couldn't really hear it. So I don't have a whole lot to add, you know, about this series.
Well, I guess a couple things I want to say is on Friday's game was Fowler's first game back, and he had a huge game. He had a homer to lead off the game. He got three hits and four at bats. He also collected a walk and drove in three on the day. So he had a huge game back. It was a sight for sore eyes, honestly. It was great to see him. And so that's what I remember about that game, basically. I would say too that Carl Edwards also had a great appearance again. That guy's just looking like he's gonna really help the Cubs down the stretch. Out of the bullpen. And the other thing from the series I wanted to bring up too is Joe Nathan, first game as a Cub today. And he got into a little bit of trouble, as I believe he gave up a triple to the first batter, and then walked the next batter he faced, and then that guy stole, and then he struck out three straight. Which was Ryan Braun, Lucroy, and other guy.
That really
Chris Carter. Guy. Chris.
Yeah, that big
Chris Carter. So that's cool. I mean, that guy's gonna, I think, help the Cubs. As far as his pitches are concerned, his fastball looked pretty good, I thought. He hit 92 on the four seamer. And then he paired that with a slider kind of in the mid 80s. And so it looked like he was pretty effective in striking out those three guys. So
yeah, and I think that
good to see.
Like you said, he got off to a rough start, but at the very least he has the sort of experience and the mental fortitude to get through something like that. Like, he's not gonna, the veteran player in that situation is a little bit easier to go to than a younger guy who might freak out a little bit. Like, Edwards in a no out, two on situation scares me a little more than Nathan, even though Nathan's struggling to get back.
Yeah, you could see the relief on his face when he was walking off, or like, you know, kind of like big ups to God or whatever it was that he was thinking at the time for letting me get through that. But he got the win today.
Yes.
So that was pretty cool. I was glad to see that. It's good to see that the Cubs have help on the way. The corresponding move was Warren got sent to Iowa to apparently work again on getting stretched out as a starter. And we saw him. He appeared in the game we were at. So I guess that's the last we'll see of him for a while, as he's going to be working on getting stretched out again down in Iowa.
Yeah. And, you know, the best positive is to go on a road series and win the series. So today was pretty big. Could have easily gone the other way. And so it's nice to see them leave Milwaukee with a series win.
Heck yeah. Anthony Rizzo is a beast.
Yes.
I mean, Corey and I watched maybe his worst two games this season. The Tuesday's game against the Rangers was terrible. Was it the Rangers? Oh my gosh.
What, the game that we went to?
That we went to, yeah.
No, they were playing the Mets. Syndergaard.
Mets. Yeah.
Okay. It's been a long weekend.
Okay. Yeah, I know. Like, I feel worn out. But, yeah, so he went 0-for-4. He strike out every at bat on Tuesday, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then he didn't do well either in the game. We were in the Brewers game we were at for the tailgate either. So, but boy, he's been great this season. We already talked about last podcast about how well he's hit with runners in scoring position. And his 3-run double today was the big blow in the game for the Cubs.
Yeah. Sorry. So I've been looking at Twitter to see if this trade has happened. It hasn't, but it sure seems like it's going to. So let's talk about it. And we have kind of talked about it on the last few episodes, I think. So Chapman, it looks like Chapman for Torres and maybe more. Earlier it seemed like somebody threw out that Soler was maybe part of it, which seemed a little bit ridiculous to me, but I guess everything kind of feels ridiculous. So it's so weird to talk about this because we can make ourselves look really dumb, but let's say it is Chapman for Torres and those are the two main pieces. What are your guys' thoughts?
It doesn't pass the, for me at least, it just doesn't pass the sniff test. I don't like him. I mean, I won't argue with you on his baseball credentials. That's just a stupid argument. The guy is a great left-handed reliever. He throws ridiculous 105 mile an hour fastballs. I mean, you can't make an argument that he's not going to make this bullpen better. The flip side for me is like, you know, at what cost, you know, that are we, I don't know. It's really difficult to talk about because if they win the World Series, whatever, I don't care. But if they don't, it's, you know, you just dropped your number one prospect for 2 months of Chapman.
Well, okay. Who's so
not even a decent human being.
Okay. Okay. So I'm going to interrupt you just for a second. Yeah. So it sounds like part of the rumor is that the Cubs won an extension. And I think earlier I saw 4 years, 60
Which
million.
Might be worse.
Okay. So, and I totally understand that he is a miserable, like awful human being. And I agree with that. And I'm not really one to say like, oh, well, let's give the guy a second chance. Well, I guess I am the guy that would maybe say that, but like, I don't mean to say that like being cliche right now, but I'm thinking like, okay, so we know that this front office values, high character players and high character people. I mean, they've built this thing on the idea of like, oh, we like Schwarber because of his skills, but we also like him because he's a high character guy. You know, so I think that like they've been pretty clear that they value those things, and if they value those things, I have a hard time seeing them throw everything out the window to acquire someone that is just truly a POS, you know? And I think that he is, and all signs indicate that he is. But I mean, what if he had his issues? And what if, like, he really has kind of worked on it as a person? We don't really know. Just like we don't know anything that happens in the clubhouse. And that's why in the last episode I said, okay, so he could be a very miserable human being and he could be an awful person, but maybe he's actually okay in the clubhouse. I really don't know because I've never been in a clubhouse and I've never been in a clubhouse with Aroldis Chapman. So I don't know. And I'm sure that if I dug a little bit, I could probably find the answer to that based on, you know, what former teammates have said and things. But I just think, you know, what if he's somebody that, what if that situation that he had at the end of the year last year, like, what if that was something where he kind of changed his life because of that? Like, what if that was kind of like a reality check or a waking up moment for him? And I mean, I'm not saying that that's definitely the case, but I think, like, I don't know. That's why it's hard. It's so hard to, like, judge someone for who they are when we don't really know. And
maybe I'm getting a text message from Aroldis Chapman. He wants to talk to me about the Romans Road to Salvation.
I understand that, like, what I'm saying is kind of weird.
I cannot stop thinking about that. Rizzo, charged the Reds dugout.
Yeah, but I understand and I agree with you guys, but I'm just saying, like, I don't. Basically, what Aroldis Chapman did in that situation that pissed everybody off was that he waved his glove kind of like dismissingly towards the Cubs dugout. That's what got everybody all worked up.
Well, after he threw it,
he threw over Sheerholtz's head. As well, two people. Didn't he throw at two people?
It was either two pitches or two people. I don't disagree with you guys. I'm just saying, and I guess, yeah. Like, I'm not saying, like, oh, he's redeemed himself or he's a different person now. Because heck, I don't know that. I'm just speculating. I haven't heard anything. I haven't heard any reporters say anything like that. But I'm just thinking, like, basically, the point I'm trying to make is I trust this front office. I've trusted this front office throughout the entire rebuild, and I can find very few faults. I have very few, I don't think they've messed up at all, really. I think that they've impressed me with, like, almost every decision that they've made. And not all of them have worked out perfectly, but a lot of the ones that didn't work out were really low risk, except for Edwin Jackson. But I guess I just, I mean, I trust this front office. And if Theo and Jed think that this isn't going to ruin the clubhouse and the environment in the clubhouse, and if this isn't going to ruin the morale on the team and everything, I just have to trust them and see what happens.
Well, I have a question that I'd like your take on, maybe that could kind of remove us from the emotional, is Aroldis an a-hole conversation? Because I think that conversation, like, we could have till forever. And people are going to fall on one side or the other, right? Like, you know, I mean, some people are going to say, give him a chance, it's baseball, whatever, I don't care. And there's other people that say, it's not worth it to take somebody on like that. I think we you know what I mean? Like, we're not going to come to a center ground. So, Mike, I have a follow-up question that I think can kind of, like, move us past that is, and if you have something to add to that before we do, go ahead. But, so let's just say Aroldis is a great guy. How do you feel about, like, just the arm, Aroldis Chapman, for Torres, your best prospect? Like,
okay, yeah.
How do you feel about that return?
Well,
and that value of that arm?
I guess for me, I think it's very rare. I think, and again, I'm just like totally talking out of my butt right now, but I think it actually kind of surprises me.
Still sounds like you though.
It's quite a skill that I have, Andy. I've been working on it for years. I just think, like, it's really surprising that I know it's only a couple of months, but it could lead to, like, a longer period of time if they're able to sign him to an extension or whatever and work out a contract. But I mean, you're trading somebody that's in high A. And I think that Gleyber Torres is really talented. We've seen him play. I think he's really good. And I'm excited about him. But at the same time, if you can trade a guy that's in high A for someone that can throw 103-plus, I think it's not necessarily a bad trade. And also, I think that the Cubs have, you know, as we well know, they have a lot of shortstops. And I'm not saying that, like, Torres's route to the majors is blocked right now, because he's still a ways off from that. But I think one way you could look at it, and I don't necessarily agree with this, but, like, the Cubs could – Aroldis Chapman absolutely makes the Cubs better. And Aroldis and making the Cubs better right now means potentially winning the World Series. And I'm not saying you trade off everybody that you have of value in the minors to try to win this year. But at the same time, if you can make it so that Aroldis Chapman can help your team over the next 3 years or 4 years, I think there's multiple World Series opportunities in there before Gleyber Torres ever has the possibility really of reaching the majors. And while he's in high A, I mean, you know, he is very, you know, he's extremely advanced in his skills. So, I mean, I don't think that he's years and years and years away, but I don't know. I don't know if I answered your question, Kurt, but.
What do you think, Andy?
I think in a way what I'm hearing Corey say is kind of what I think too, is that Torres wouldn't be a major league ready piece for a few years. And so if they're able to work an extension into this trade, it makes it that much more attractive and equal to me.
Yeah. I'll throw in my two cents on that. And like, as a baseball move, I am totally fine with it. Like, if you can remove the character flaws, I don't mind it at all, because it's like chastising someone who's a millionaire for overpaying for something. Like, mm-hmm. We have so much cash in the bank right now that, yeah, we overpaid. If this deal goes through, they overpaid.
Oh, you bought a Porsche SUV. You didn't have to do that.
But because you can, because you've got the equity and the cash in the bank to do it, go ahead and do it. If it means later this year, you do it. And I think the other flip side is, don't look at this as a regular season move. Like, you know, if the Cubs are 95% to make the playoffs, let's just consider it a done deal. You know, things could fall apart, but let's not go there. They're in the playoffs. Chapman is a huge weapon in the playoffs, you know. So I think this is a playoff move. This is, you have so much money to spend. It doesn't matter what it costs. You just get better. So like I said, from a baseball standpoint, totally on board. I just don't like it from a character standpoint, because even if they win, now it's like, you know, all of us don't really care what people say if they win the World Series. But then the flip side, everybody knows that Cardinals fan you work with is going to be like, yeah, but you had to do it with Chapman, you know.
Well, and here's
the
thing.
You had to buy Chapman to do it.
When Chapman, you know, came to play baseball, you know, in MLB, like, I really wanted to. I mean, I was excited about him. I think the Cubs were like, I mean, this is years back, but it seems like the Cubs were kind of like in talks. You know, or in the discussion, and I desperately wanted Aroldis Chapman to go to the Cubs. But another thing, you know, okay, so if we talk about the character thing, I guess I also look at it this way. This is Major League Baseball, and Major League Baseball is full of jocks. And if you want to build a Major League Baseball team without a-holes, then good luck, because I guarantee you this current Cubs roster has some a-holes on it. And I know we don't want. I know there are guys, and we don't want to think they are. And I don't even have anybody like specific in mind at all. But I think that, and I understand that there's a difference between just being a general a-hole and then doing what he did. And being the one. Yeah. So I understand. Yeah. I understand that was kind of a ridiculous thing, but. I don't know. My overall opinion is I'm going to trust this front office. And if they think that he can help the team and not impact the clubhouse in a negative way, then I'm just going to trust them. And he definitely makes the Cubs a better team. And good luck, you know, to any team trying to rally in the ninth inning off of him, because as you know, we've seen him shut down extreme, you know, some of our best Cubs hitters in the ninth inning in the past. So I
Luke Jett tweeted or retweeted the Cardinals beat reporter Jennifer Langosh. She said it's worth noting the St. Louis Cards haven't scored off Chapman since 2011.
Yeah.
So I'm not like, I'm not saying like, oh, I hope this trade happens. Yeah. I mean, baseball wise, knowing that weapon in the ninth inning. Yeah. I would love to have that. I wish Hector Rondon was that. He's not. And so I guess my overall thing is I'm just kind of, you know, if it happens, it happens, and I'll probably try to enjoy it. And if it doesn't happen, I'll think, oh, good, because he's an a-hole. So
okay, so he's in a Cubs uniform, though, and he starts doing stuff like dismissing another team. Like, is that, do we love that now?
Like, we definitely give him more of a benefit of the doubt that, oh, he was just waving him off.
Okay, so,
we've talked before about like enjoying the idea of the Cubs having some swagger.
Right.
And
basically other being the Yankees, you know.
Or, okay.
Well, at least the Yankees a few years ago.
Yes. Okay. So I understand that this is a different situation, but let me try to like, man, we are heading in some really dangerous conversations right
now.
Well,
we don't have to.
I want to say this though. So like, I think, if you look at his past and this one incident that happened, I think at the same time you could look at what happened with Jorge Soler when he was in Daytona, and you could think like, whoa, that is a bad apple. That is nobody that we want in this organization. He does not match the rest of the, you know, what this organization appears to be built on or anything like that. And we have not seen anything like that from him since. And so
I don't know. I'm going to say I'm reluctant to tread into any territory that involves domestic violence and trying to argue that the guy is a decent man. And
I'm not saying that.
So, you know what I mean? Like, I guess in that sense, you know, Jorge did something stupid on the field of play against people he was competing against versus something entirely different. So I want to try to stay away from that as much as I can and just sort of stay in general terms of character.
And that's kind of what I was trying to do with like his play on the field, and his conduct on the field hasn't been great
right.
either.
Like if he throws at somebody, how are we going to feel about that? Royals fans feel about what's his name, Ventura, that kind of thing. Like you defend him to a point, and then you're like, whoa, man.
Yeah, you're kind of on your own.
Yeah,
when the bench is clear, we'll go out there. But you're kind of on your own. I don't know. I mean, it's just I tend to agree with you guys. I'm just trying to, and this is internally what I think almost probably anybody listening to this podcast has probably is experiencing the full range of emotions when it would come to this potential trade. And I think that I can almost take any stance on it, really. I could argue any side of this thing.
My guess is that the front office made a baseball move and they said, is Aroldis eligible to play baseball? Yes. Did he serve a suspension under the rules? Yes. All right, let's make a deal. And I think they did compromise on their character. I think they built their team that they have in place. They built the foundation on the character rules. And now they're like, we're going to win. And what does it take to win? And that's why they're compromising a bit on that, because they can. And it might backfire, but I'm guaranteeing they don't think it will. Otherwise, they wouldn't make the deal. So only time will tell how this works out.
Yeah.
It'd be funny if it doesn't happen and we spent that time.
But still, at least we got it out there. So then if it, you know, future bad eggs, we can just say, see this episode.
Right. Yeah. So here's what's going to happen. It's the trade's going to go down. And then our next episode, Kurt's going to be like, well, I really do kind of like this deal.
Oh, I love it from a baseball standpoint, but I don't care about the rental. Like, I overpay, I'm fine with that, but it just doesn't feel right. It doesn't pass the gut check.
Yeah, I hear you. I don't know.
I'm kind of in the same place as you, Kurt, but yeah, like some people are saying in the chat, you know, Don included, is we don't really have a choice. I mean, she said that we're not going to stop being Cubs fans. We just have to work with it. And, you know, we've trusted the front office all along, and we'll just have to continue to do so and try to embrace him, you know, if he happens to be a Cub.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to, if he becomes a Cub when that first time he comes out and he throws 103 miles an hour, I'm going to be pumped. So
Corey's going to have a Aroldis Scherzi. And
well, when he throws it right, Pat, when he goes out there and throws a fastball right past Matt Adams and freaking Carpenter and Jerkos and whatever.
Jerkos.
Well, Jerko. I don't know why I pluralized it. They're all a bunch of Jerkos. That's how we end that conversation. We just all, you know, we just agree on our hatred of the Cardinals.
Yes. But I think the conclusion is, though, like, however you're feeling, completely valid.
If right.
You hate it, if you love it.
Yeah. Yeah. Seriously. I think you're right. However you feel, you're right.
Yep.
Okay. So let's wrap this thing up. Do you guys have any internet muscle flexes?
I do. Yeah.
Okay.
I don't.
I'll do mine first, Andy, just because it was, it's not a real internet muscle flex. IRL muscle flex from the hotel. Actually, it was the breakfast area today. On our way out, I went in there to grab a cup of coffee on my way out, and there were some Cubs fans sitting in there, you know, and one of them, basically, I'm kind of summarizing what he said, but he said, don't get too attached to anyone on this roster or in this system. Because when this front office realizes that this is not a playoff team, they will be selling pieces off.
the team with the best record in baseball.
Right. And the trade deadline, what, like a week away?
And tons of team control.
Don't get attached to anybody on this team, guys.
Oh, boy. That's a goody IRL flex. mine are kind of stupid. They're on a post on Cubs Instagram after, I think it's after Friday's win, maybe. One commenter posted, she posted, so proud of my hubbies. And then the very next comment, Cubbies. I don't know if that were an accident. Like, it's funny either way. Like, it's like, oh man, I just accidentally typed hubbies.
All five of them, love them.
So I like that one. And then on the same post, somebody just commented, Aroldis Chapstick.
That's what somebody needs to get the Scherzi, and on the back of it says Chapstick. Because that would be kind of like the guy that we saw in Milwaukee last night, who on the back of his jersey, his authentic jersey, it said scorecard. And he had a pencil in his mouth.
Let's all get Cubs jerseys that just have a thing we like on the back.
Mine just says chickens.
Xbox.
Beer.
I could get one that says Pokemon. Yeah.
And then the number is just go.
I guarantee you there's a ton that say beer on the back. There's got to be people that have beer.
Oh,
one. Yeah.
Maybe.
Excuse me, sir. That's banjo. That's not beer.
I think I've seen beer me. I think I've seen that on the back of somebody's jersey. Oh, man. We should. Just whatever your number was. Like, scorecard.
Whatever your favorite.
Why? Card. It wasn't even like Mr. Scorecard. Like, that's it. Like, oh, that's Mr. Scorecard over there. It was just scorecard.
Oh man,
it was number one, right? That I think
yeah,
the number
it was
number one.
It was. I got a picture of it. So, and actually, I'll be
so
posting. I'll be posting a whole bunch of pictures that I took and other people took tomorrow on our Facebook page, ivmv.com/Facebook. We'll get you there, so I'll put it all in an album. But, oh, man. Is that your last one, Andy?
Yep.
I love it.
Gardening.
I'm so tempted to get like a cheap jersey from China that says like worms on the back or fishing.
Chickens.
Ripping lips.
Oh man.
Shooting coyotes.
So that does it for this episode. It was brought to you by all of our Patreon supporters, and Patreon is how we keep this thing going. It pays the podcasting bills, helps us upgrade equipment, and it helps us pay for things like the tailgate and our other events. We have a new Patreon supporter to thank, Joe Lynn from Shenandoah Junction, West Virginia. And first off, Kurt and I, we like bluegrass music, and I think that Shenandoah Junction, West Virginia, sounds like a hotbed of bluegrass, don't you think, Kurt?
Yeah, some real good mountain music up in there.
That's what I thought.
So, there's probably a song called Shenandoah Junction.
Well, there's a song called Shenandoah. I know that, but there you go, Kurt. That's what your first original song on the banjo needs to be, Shenandoah Junction. So I listened to a bluegrass podcast, and he's out of Gassaway, West Virginia. And I was like, oh, man, Gassaway, West Virginia, Shenandoah Junction, they have to be close to each other. They're not. I looked it up. And Shenandoah Junction is actually pretty close to Washington, D.C. So maybe it's not as bluegrass as we thought. But anyway, thank you, Joe Lynn. And if you like what we're doing here, and I guess you want to give me a reason to Google search your hometown and learn more about it, then you can visit our Patreon campaign. It's patreon.com/IVMV. That's patreon.com/IVMV. Or you can go to IVMV.com and click on the Patreon button on the side of the page. So the Cubs and the White Sox, they play four times this week, two at the Cell and then two at Wrigley. We'll be back on Wednesday to talk about the first few games. Thank you for downloading. And until Wednesday night, go Cubs.
When the gods decide it's about damn time, we're gonna pop champagne bottle lakeside. When the evening comes and the stars align, we're gonna pop champagne, gonna pop champagne bottle lakeside. When the gods decide it's about damn time, we're gonna pop champagne by the lakeside. When the evening comes and the stars align, we're gonna pop champagne, gonna pop champagne by the lakeside.